up like you're on radio, son. Randy.
I'll do better, Randy, Dad.
Son. I'll do better. Randy, son.
Worms. Randy, this son. Is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Randy? Is it working, Mike?
Working.
Can you feel it?
Yeah, you bet it is.
It's working for me. Speak up, Randy. There you go. Speak up. Be loud like your cat. Yeah, this is so we got some new art here. There, I'm doing visual humor on the radio. I'm looking at a really cool meme of Chandler that he hasn't seen yet, but he'll see it when the show goes up tonight because it's going to be the image for the show. And we're still working on one for Randy.
There I am, Chandler.
Yeah, send me some pictures, of you Randy, so we can we can get on. So I have an interesting thing today. Okay, first of all, I want to say this is a teaching hospital, so. I'm trying to teach you guys so you can, you know, when I get hit by a bus or, you know, get throat cancer or something, I can't do the show anymore, you guys can do the show. So one of the things I taught you was when you get on with the board op a couple minutes before, 5 minutes before the show, always ask which the board op it is. Hey, ask his name, write it down. You don't want to be going, hey, board op, in the middle of the show. It's rude. And what did you say about Dale Carnegie said there, Randy?
Dale Carnegie wrote as one of his points in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. One of his keys is that, I might need to be a little louder there. How
yeah,
about
get
that?
A little closer. Yeah.
One of his key points is that the sweetest sound for any person is the sound of their own name.
Absolutely.
So remember people's names.
Yep. And I learned that when I was in bands. There was, I you know, I was playing in these punk rock bands and like this, I knew this old hippie dude that played in this blues band, and he kind of took me under his wing. And one of the things he told me was, always learn, and he talked like this. He was like, Michael, you gotta always, as soon as you get to the club, learn the sound man's name, write it on the back of your hand so you don't forget it when you get drunk. That guy can make or break you. And if you have money, tip him 10 or 20 bucks, because most bands don't. And if you tip him, he'll do a little better job for you, and it's true. We can't afford to tip our board ops, but we know their names. Yeah, it's Shane tonight. Shane's doing a good job. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Shane.
Hey, make we can
sound,
hear him.
Make Nobody me else sound can hear him. Good. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's like the voice of God. It's like it is whispering in our ear. So, speaking of God, you know what? What's that thing? Nietzsche said God is dead. God said Nietzsche is dead. So what do you get for the nihilist that has nothing, Randy? I messed it up. It's what do you get for the nihilist who has everything? And the answer is nothing. It's a death clock joke. All right. So what do you guys got? What do you want to talk about? I want to talk about Free Talk Live. I spent about an hour today trying to convince Mark and Ian that in lieu of not having Cantwell, that their bench wasn't deep enough and they need to borrow some fiends. I was going to lend them some fiends. And Mark was all for it, and Ian didn't want to do it, man. I don't get
Ian,
it. So
Ian wants his co-host to be sitting there
in the same room.
The room. I understand that.
No, I think he wants his co-host to move to New Hampshire and be sitting in the same room.
They would probably have to do that, yes.
I think that's the purpose, yeah.
Tell them we'll do that for a week in like another month.
Oh, you know,
I had fiends lined up willing to do it free, man, but he didn't want to do it. So I think we should have a email Ian and tell him that he should let fiends take Wednesday. Because nothing would be better for the universe than Freedom Fiends taking Chris Cantwell's slot on Wednesdays via Fiend Phone, don't you think?
I think that would be a character building exercise
for Cantwell.
For
no.
Mr. Cantwell?
I think it'd be great, man. I think, and so I'm willing to lend my property, my fiends, from my stable of hoes out to Ian.
You know, maybe if, well, Chandler, you already live up in New England, right?
He could drive over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Or he could move to Vermont, which is only like, you know, 15 minutes away, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And he could do the show and he wouldn't be in New Hampshire. And maybe that wouldn't get it done. I don't know. I suspect.
I don't know. Derek keeps trying to get me to move to New Hampshire. I just don't see it happening in the immediate future.
I have no Derek experience.
Derek J or Derek Slopey?
Derek J.
Yeah. Okay. Derek J might be moving out, I thought. I don't know. I don't know what's up. I don't know. I'm guessing all this, but people should write
in. If I move, I'm gonna take a cue from Ben and move down south where it's warm.
So it's Ian at freetalklive.com. That's IAN, like India Alpha November. Ian at freetalklive.com. People should have a massive campaign of emailing Ian and telling him that he should have fiends on to fatten up his bench, to have more you know, depth to the show.
Well, they would do that now. Any fiend could call in on Skype with our good microphones and everything, and they take calls.
Yeah, and we sound good, and we've done that. And he generally, on the rare occasion I call in, he generally keeps me on. They generally keep me on for a long segment, if not a full half hour. But that's not the same as being. I'm not pushing this for me. I'm pushing this for fiends. I'm pushing this because Free Talk Live is my favorite radio show, and I want it to thrive. And I think it will thrive if you get some good out of state, you know.
Yeah, thing I do not understand, though,
like Randy.
There's some dynamic of having everybody in the same room together, right?
No, it's not. We're more fun sometimes than they are.
Well, I don't know if there is.
I don't know, man. That first show we did that night at Porkfest was pretty fun with all of us in the room.
That was epic. But Ian was in the room, and Ian was tripping. Or was that the second night?
That was the second night.
Yeah, and that was cool. That was epic, and that was historic. And it was kind of funny, too, because it was like, I was like, yeah, Ian, tripping on the radio. You ever tripped on the radio? And he's like, no, I would never. I'm a professional. He would never do it on his show. But he'd do
just
it on
the fiends.
Just on the fiends. Yeah, I like it.
Now, Chandler, you're going to be at Porkfest also, right?
I sure am.
And I didn't notice if you were signed up for one of the I assume you're going to do a show or two, right?
Oh, I'm hoping to do a few. It depends. I'd like to go for the whole week, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make it for the whole week. I might not get there till Tuesday or Wednesday.
So Mark Edge Googling is live tweeting our show right now because he just live tweeted Michael W. Dean Fiend Pimp. All I do on Twitter these days is go back and forth with Mark Edge Googling. I talk to him more than I talk to Mark Edge, although I talked to Mark Edge for an hour today on the phone.
If you're,
you know, it's funny. I've never.
What does that make us?
My stable of hoes.
Yes, wow. We are. You're stable.
Yep.
It's funny
did
because.
Did I walk all over you? Go ahead.
I'm willing to rent you guys out at popular prices, man.
Thank you.
It's all good. Right.
It better be good prices, though.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I looked at my Twitter today. I looked at my Twitter feed today, and like, I don't use Twitter a whole lot, but like, all my notifications and most of the people I'm following are all fiend related.
Fiend related. I know. It's I mean, it's basically just become a conversation I'm having with one person that I'm sharing with the world. So that's it. Yeah. I want to know who Mark Edge Googling is. He's like my new best friend. I think he should email me at rightarmofwyoming@gmail.com. That's rightarmofwyoming@gmail.com. I'll keep his secret identity secret. I think I know who it is. Mark Edge thinks he knows who it is and told me today. If it's the person I'm thinking of, I sent them a request on Facebook. Man, this is like not what syndicated radio is for. I'm talking like one guy on like, you know, 10 radio stations nationwide.
So you're not Mark Edge Googling, because that's what I thought.
Do you think?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too. Yeah,
I was kind of thinking that.
Well,
of course, a lot of the stuff I see on the internet, I'm going, I wonder if that's Michael.
No, I'm honored that you think that whenever you see stuff on the internet, but no.
Although, well, I didn't tell you about all the stuff that I thought that about. So
I know, yeah, it's horrible stuff. Although it could be a ruse, and I am Mark Edge Googling, because it would fit the ruse for me to be saying, yeah, email me, dude. I'll, you know, buy you a beer, whatever.
Yes, that point has not escaped us.
And I did send him, he's taking Bitcoin now. Mark Edge sent him $5, and I sent him 12 cents in Bitcoin. And that's not like a joke. Like that was just all the Bitcoin I had. So I was going to send him a $2 donation, but I didn't.
Mark Edge Googling accepts Bitcoin for his Googling. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's entertaining, you know.
I've read it a few times. I've been entertained once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of, you know, Bitcoin is really cool for when you need it, but for an investment, I'm kind of bummed out on mine because it's not worth what I paid for it.
I'll tell you what the investment that's never going to go down is buy a dozen or two of the mics you guys are using, the Audio-Technica 2005 USB, because I really think they're going to discontinue them at some point, and they are just the best podcasting radio mic. And they're like,
and they've gone up in price too.
I've driven them up in price. I drove them up in price, and I drove Namecoin down in price. Everything I touch,
you're a market manipulator.
The price changes every time you touch it. You're like it's some sort of quantum thing going on.
Anti-Midas touch. Yeah.
Well, should we be buying extra microphones?
I believe you should.
I'm just counting on you. I'm sure that if this microphone that I'm speaking through right now would poop out, you would, and I couldn't buy a new one. We kind of count on you. You're our Heisenberg.
I have two. I have two, and I'm not using either of them. So I think if any of the current fiends had one crap out, I'd probably overnight them one. But
you can't let your second spare go.
Yeah. Well, no, I could, because I can get good sound out of anything. I mean, I could literally be, you know, stuck at a bus station in Topeka using a payphone and phone in a show and make it sound good. But yeah.
Yeah, speaking of that, we were kind of emailing back and forth about that.
Oh, well, Louis, we're going to break real soon. We'll do that in the next segment.
Worms.
Secrets of sound manipulation and why you should never fix it in the mix. But
I can't wait, but
sometimes
I will.
You have to.
I love to learn.
Learning is fundamental.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yep. What's up, guys?
Secrets of audio engineering.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah. So there's a term, fix it in the mix. You guys know that term?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That means do it sloppy now and fix it later.
Yep. Yep. It's turd polishing. It's something you don't want to do.
It's bad.
Ever. Although sometimes you have to do it because you have audio that can't be reproduced. It's got problems. And happened recently. Somebody did some fiends audio that had background noise, really bad background noise.
You're saying that it was other than creamy, is that right?
It was not creamy. It was crunchy. And
I hate it when my audio's not creamy.
I know. Your audio's been getting better. For sure.
Well, but I learned from the best.
Yeah, I know. And I screamed at you until you got it right.
Yep.
I got to keep my fillies in line in my stable here.
Was Chandler a hard nut?
No homo. Yeah, he was, but we cracked it. Yeah. So I did some noise reduction, which is one of the hardest things to do right. Randy's done it too. You do it with what do you do it? Like old bootleg tapes of the Rolling Stones or something?
Not that exciting. Old tapes. What I used to love to record stuff when I was a little kid. I mean, back in the 60s even, I would record things, and I've had a lot of tapes left over, and you can imagine how junky they sound. And so Audacity has what they call noise removal, where you can get rid of hiss and background noise. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. SoundForge has it too. But I use SoundForge for everything except noise reduction. I use Audacity for that. And the other thing I use Audacity for is converting MP3s to waves if I need to, because SoundForge to do that or sound reduction requires a plugin that costs money, and you can often find the program bootlegged, but usually you can't find those two plugins bootlegged, or they don't work.
Which plugin are you using
for SoundForge?
Because I know for SoundForge there
Sony
is a
noise reduction.
Yeah, that's what I used to use until I switched to Audition.
Yeah. And all these programs pretty much use the same methodology, which is you find a place where there's just noise. There's no one talking, no nothing, just the noise that's through
just
the whole
background.
Show. Yeah, and you sample that, and then it makes a filter, and you apply that filter. And there's a couple tips with it. One is you want to find the longest, like, you know, 5 seconds is a good length of silence. But with a lot of Fiend stuff, there's none of that because Fiends never shut up. So I was doing like quarter second samples of noise print, which doesn't yield as great results, but it does if you do it right and listen to what you're doing. The other thing is how much you apply. I literally apply between 60 and 120 decibels of reduction of the noise print. And if the thing is, if the rest of the sound is solid, and with the Fiends it always is, you can actually do that much without getting too much artifacting. And the artifacting, when you do it wrong, or even when you do it right, you get this kind of like, I say it sounds like whispering robots.
Yeah, it sounds like talking. A tin robot. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can do it. You can do it right if you do it right. It's just, there's kind of an art to it. You have to have done
it.
It
takes
a
lot of practice.
I hate doing it. And I have only done noise reduction on the Freedom Fiends 3 times out of 700 shows. We're coming up on our 700th show. I think next Sunday night with Derek J is going to be the 700th show. Are either of you guys on that?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm with Derek that night.
You're going to be on this. I must pop in too. It's a 700th show, man.
That's awesome.
700th is this Sunday night?
Yeah, we'll be the 700 club.
I should pop in too.
We should all pop in. I invite all the Fiends to pop in.
Yeah, we find out what the capacity of Fiend Phone is.
We can find out what it's like with 13 people on it. Let's do it, man.
All right. Well, just send the email to everybody. I will.
Yep.
There we go.
That's funny.
And have, you know, that could make for a good a sample for a Fiend commercial, having like all the hosts talk at once over
it's
each
gonna,
other.
It's not going to work. I mean, it'll sort of work, but I mean, really, it's based on the computer that's acting as the server. So that's one of Ian's there. So maybe we need to put some more memory in Ian's computer. Sneak in the middle of the night. Have Derek do it. All right. We'll be back for more after this trip to the market. I might not be back. These guys will be back. I got to hear the hospital voice. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends doing radio and live radio in their underwear since 2011.
That's right. That's Chandler. Yeah. Chandler speaking right there.
You had to exclude yourself from that one, huh, Randy?
I'm not going to ask what you're wearing, all right? But okay. You can tell whatever you want. Hey, did Michael bow out at the end of the segment there?
I think Michael's taking a break because, like we said during the break, he was going to stay on for another segment, and I said it's better to save your voice and have a little bit of you every night than just have one, you know, once a week. So I think
true.
That works.
Yeah. And you can come in at the beginning of the show and talk. Everything is fresh in that. And then if you don't have anything more to say, you can leave. And
well,
let the other two guys that are left kind of be lame or whatever we are, you know?
Yeah, and I was kind of hoping, I got to say, I was kind of hoping to hear a robot tonight because I get a kick out of robot.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Robot makes me laugh, especially... what's her name? Sangrita?
Is that the girl robot?
Yeah, yeah. She's okay. Funny.
I mostly have heard the guy robot who is funny, but his timing is sometimes off.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? It's funny, too, because I know Michael doesn't reveal what he uses, but on my Mac, I have that... text-to-speech option. I think it comes default on the Mac OS, and the guy one that he uses is one of the defaults on Mac. So I don't remember. I know that he does on whatever program Michael's using, but I've only used it once. I do like to use the speech-to-text option. I use Drag and Dictate a lot, because... I don't spend much time on the internet posting and doing long posts and arguing with people because I don't have the patience or the time for it. But I found that using Drag and Dictate, once you train it and get it working really well, it does help because you can, like, you know, just talk into your microphone and do long-winded comments that I would never have the patience to type.
But it doesn't work on the radio.
No.
Although, if it was really good, you could just turn it on and it would produce a transcript of the Freedom Fiend show.
You know, that would be interesting to... that would be interesting to try sometime if I had upgraded my computer to the supercomputer I want and, transcribe the whole Fiend show.
Just record the whole thing and then run it through the software, right?
Well, yeah, you could do that too, actually.
Say, you were mentioning, I guess it was before the show, about a video that's on the internet. You remember about the name of the story was Cop Doesn't Understand How Law Works.
Oh, so that's like 90% of the cops out there, yeah.
Well, this yes. was a particular cop, because I watched the video and... I found it very entertaining, I think that's maybe been out there for a little while. I mean, a month or something, maybe.
Yeah, but, I think so.
It was really great about the guy who was playing his guitar in the New York subway, and the cop came along and said that he had to leave because he didn't have a permit.
Yeah,
and I go ahead.
So, I found this article on Upworthy.com, and it's entitled, Cop Doesn't Understand How Law Works, Arrest Guy Who Does for Something Totally Legal. Now, it's a story about a street musician named Andrew Killeen. He's 30 years old. And yeah, he's playing in a subway station, which in New York, as is in most cities, I believe, is totally legal. I remember when I went down to see Muse in Boston, we took the T, you know, back to the parking garage. And there was this really cool chick. You know, she must have been like, I don't know, 23, 24. And she was playing. You know, she had her hat out and collecting donations. And that's a common occurrence for... musicians, you know, that they go where there's an audience and people are waiting for the trains and they like listening to that sort of thing, and they'll toss in a few coins or a few dollars here and there. But apparently this cop was annoyed by the musician and thought it was for some reason illegal to play without getting the proper permission slips. And yes, unfortunately, in this day and age, many people do need to get permission slips for every aspect of their life. But this is one of them where that doesn't apply. And he actually tried to arrest the guy. And another officer supported him in this, and it's totally bogus. I mean, what was your take?
Didn't they actually? Well, I thought they actually did arrest him. If being down on his knees with his face against the wall and handcuffs behind him would constitute an arrest, I'd go for that.
I think that constitutes police brutality.
Yeah, Well, I don't know that they hurt him, but they definitely arrested him and hauled him out. And they were a little rough with his guitar, too. I'm a guitar player myself, and I kind of winced a few times as they dropped that thing on the floor.
Well, and it begs the question, you know, if they damaged his property, do you think they'd actually compensate him?
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If they blew down your front door with a search warrant, you think they compensate you there?
Yeah, not so much.
But yeah, the thing was that the poor guy with the guitar was actually citing the exact section of the New York Transit Authority rules that allowed him to play his guitar there in the subway as long as he stayed out of the way. And he was jammed right up against the wall, leaning back, you know, back against the wall so that he wouldn't be in anybody's way. And it wasn't crowded anyway. He was in no one's way. And the cop pulls out he pulls up the statute or the ordinance right there on his phone, and they're looking at it, and the cop, they see the part that says, it starts out saying that,
I'll read it. It's section 1050.6c of the New York City Transit Authority rules state, quote, except as expressly permitted in the subdivision, no person shall engage in any non-transit use upon any facility or conveyance. Non-transit users are non-commercial activities that are not directly related to the use of the facility or conveyance for transportation. The following non-transit uses are permitted by the authority, provided they do not impede transit activities and they are conducted in accordance with these rules. Public speaking, campaigning, leafletting, or distribution of written non-commercial materials, activity intended to encourage and facilitate voter registration, artistic performances, including the acceptance of donations. So the guy was well within his rights. And I think it's telling, too, the guy has a little bit more tact, shall we say, than probably I would have, because
he was very polite. Yes,
he was. And in an interview with the New York Daily News, he stated, "I do sympathize with the officer," which I wouldn't have.
Yeah, I don't.
He's sort of a cog in a larger problem that's encouraging that behavior. I suppose that's true.
A willing, eager cog.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, I don't know. I guess being a cop must be a tough job, but I wouldn't do it. So
I wouldn't do it either. So
I guess that's why I don't sympathize. You know what I mean? But if you're going to do it, if you generally want to serve the public good, right? And you're out there to make a difference and stop crime and that sort of thing, why would you hassle a musician? Wouldn't you make it your business? Like, I'm a hippie. You know, and I sit here on the internet and on the radio and talk to you cats and do all that. But I study the law, like, in a very amateur sense, not like you. But I mean, I have a couple of copies of Black's Law Dictionary, and I read this stuff, and I find it fascinating.
Well, you're more diligent than I am, but go ahead.
Well, I think I'm more diligent than a lot of cops out there, and it's not even my business to know this stuff. So you would think that I know there's no such thing as peace officers anymore, but as a police officer, you would think that they might try to better themselves and understand local ordinances and local laws a little bit better. But no, it's much easier to hassle a helpless musician in the subway than it is to further your education on what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, the thing that was so horrible about it on the video is that there were a lot of people around. I mean, not a lot of people, but there were, you could see that there were a half a dozen people past where the video was shooting, and there had to be at least that many behind the camera. You could hear them back behind the whoever was taking the video, and all of them liked what the guy was doing. They liked his songs. They kept applauding for him. They were booing the cop, even what the guy was doing. I mean, it wasn't offensive. I think he was playing Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
And he wasn't bad at all. Why the cop, if the cop really thought that it was a violation, you'd think it would be one of those things where he'd just move on because he wasn't bothering anybody and everybody was enjoying it.
Well, but I do
he
agree.
He just had to do it.
Yeah, and I do agree with Andrew Killeen, the musician. I do agree with him when he says it's a kind of a picture of a larger problem, because anyone that's been in the subway station knows how utterly boring and drab it is to sit there and wait for the trains. So when a local performer comes along and kind of adds to that environment, adds a little color, you know, makes you smile, makes you be like, yeah, this is cool, man, I like listening to this stuff, that's really great. But these guys, these you know, clowns in costumes, they just have to come and crush that artistic zeal. It just, it saddens me. It really saddens me.
They want to make a case. They want to make a case. I remember when I was a prosecutor, I would have the police would, every once in a while, would be sending me requests to prosecute conduct that was not a crime at all. I mean, one of the biggest fights I remember getting into, and it was so stupid. The cops sent me a ticket that said it was failure to obey a traffic control device, which normally means running a red light.
Yeah.
But down below it said that the defendant had run a yellow light.
What?
Did you ever run a yellow light?
Is that even possible by definition?
Well, sure, I run them every day.
Yeah, but
I pride myself on it. We'll come back after.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. This is Randy England.
Long hair and all.
No, not Randy England, but Chandler.
No, Randy England had
long
hair in the 70s, and I want to see it.
Oh, don't give that out. My wedding pictures are, people think, are an embarrassment. I'm fine.
No way. I bet it was really hip.
It wasn't. We thought it was, but I just eventually decided it was too much trouble, and I cut it off.
Couldn't do the prosecutor and the defense attorney or anything.
Well, you know, by the time I was a prosecutor, though, nobody had long hair except you, Chandler.
Well, you know, I think it comes in stages, because I go to a lot of concerts, metal shows, and different shows, and I swear to God, man, I am like the only one there with long hair. I'm like, am I that stuck in the 80s or what? Nobody has long hair anymore. I don't get it.
You know, I'm great with it. I grew up 60s and 70s. You know, as long as you don't go mullet on me, I'm good. You can go mullet, but wow, you know, because you start going bald on the top, and then it turns into a skullet, and I'm wow.
Yeah, I posted a picture of maybe like eighth grade, and I had the mullet look. It was horrible. I'll never go back to that.
Yeah, well, send me that picture. Hey, I was before we were at the break, I had this cop that sent me a ticket when I was a prosecutor, and the idea was I was supposed to prosecute the guy that he'd stopped because he had run a yellow light. I didn't even believe it when I read it, and so I called the cop and I said,
"Did you laugh at him?"
No, I asked him. He said, "I'll write up a report and send it. I want this filed." I said, "Okay, send it to me." So he writes a report, gets it to me rather promptly. I mean, I was glad about that, and sends it to me. And there, right there in the report, he laid the whole thing out. I remembered everything. I was here, you know, facing north, and this guy was coming through the light, you know, facing west. And right in front of me, he says, the light turned yellow, and I could see him looking at the light, and he just ran through that yellow light. I mean, he was just as guilty as sin. And so I pulled him over and wrote him the ticket for running the yellow light. I said, he says, "I got this guy cold. I've got this guy cold." And I said, "Well, let's pull out the statute book and see what it says." And we look it up, and I said, "It says here that it's a you can get a ticket for going through a red light, but you can't get one from going through a yellow light."
Yeah, doesn't yellow mean yield?
Well, yeah, but when you come up to a traffic light, and say, for example, you're 50 feet away going 30 miles an hour, if it turns yellow at that point, you couldn't stop if you slammed on your brakes.
Right, you'd actually cause an accident doing that.
Yes, intuitively, you can run a yellow light. It was not intuitive to this cop. And let me tell you, when you will not file something that a cop thinks should be filed, they get really upset. I remember one time they would come in. There was kind of a rule that I developed when I was a prosecutor, and that was, if you have a case that, you know, the cop, you know, that's pretty decent, the cop will just send the reports over. You read them, you know, yeah, it's a good assault, it's not a good assault, and that's the end of it. But sometimes the cop will, instead of sending them over to the prosecutor's office, will walk them over and ask to speak with you. Uh-oh. And you immediately know there's a problem with this case. And they may need to tell you something, and maybe you file it, maybe you don't, maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But sometimes they'll show up with two cops who want you to file something. And I found during the entire time that I was a prosecutor, I never filed a single case that had more than one cop trying to get me to file it.
Well, I actually had a cop tell me once that yellow means go. You know, don't stop. So,
well, yeah, I think we learned that. You get that with your mother's milk.
Yep. And we'll be back to talk about more prosecution of non-crimes and
non-crime.
Maybe a little bit about pork fest.
Worms. I'd like to do that because I'm going this coming year, and I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm pretty excited too. I get to meet you.
Indeed.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we're here, and we're back, and I think Chandler is with me, and this is Randy England. Chandler, do I have you there?
You do. And, yes. You know, it's interesting. Not as much of a night owl as I used to be. You know, I, generally speaking, I am asleep at this time on most days. And during the break, you know, I went outside in my underwear on my front porch and just kind of took a few breaths of fresh air and kind of stared up at the stars. And it's really quiet out at 2 a.m. in the morning, and it's a really good thing. And I'm glad to be up talking to the fiends and talking to all the folks out there in radio land that are listening and have insomnia or work the swing shifts or whatever, you know. So hello to you, and it's good to be here.
That was nice that you had time to go run outside, and that some of us have more urgent matters to attend to.
Well, I took care of that outside, so. Oh.
Perfect.
You know what it was that Edward Abbey said, that if you can't pee off your front porch, you live too close to the city?
You know, those are words to live by.
Just saying.
And I live in the city, and I miss that.
I'm in the city, but I'm on the outskirts. You know, I'm on a busy road, but it's on the outskirts of town, so it's not too bad. And at 2 a.m., it's really quiet.
There's always the back deck, though, so.
Yeah, that too.
You know, I think I was talking about the fighting with a cop over filing a yellow light ticket, and I didn't file that, and he was never satisfied with my explanation, so we let that go. But that thing, that would happen all the time. So I remember one time I had a case where the sheriff's office was in demanding that I file some burglary charges against someone. And you know what a burglary is? It's when someone enters a home, you know, enters a building illegally with the intent of committing a crime inside. And we fought, and I said, look, I'm not going to do it. There's not enough evidence here. I'm not going to file it, and that's the end of that. And the guy storms out of the room and then comes storming back in just a few seconds later, says, all right, won't file a burglary. I want you to file a home invasion.
And what's the difference?
And well, the difference is that in some states, a burglary is called a home invasion. But in the state of Missouri, where I am, there is no such thing as a home invasion. And I wasn't as diplomatic or as nice as I should have been, because I said something like, well, that would be really nice, except there is no such crime in the state of Missouri. And I felt kind of guilty about it ever since, but there's not. Now, home invasion, I think the Missouri legislature probably ought to get on the ball and change the name of burglary to home invasion, because home invasion is like really cool, and it's really been trending for the last decade or more. People talk about home and I mean an invasion. I mean, you're thinking aliens from Mars. Invasions sound much more sinister.
Burglary, isn't that much kinda more, the language must be broader, though, when you say home invasion.
Well, a home invasion does imply a home, doesn't it? Whereas a burglary, you could be breaking into a business or something like that.
Yes.
But I don't know. In our state, if you break into any building with enter any building illegally for the purpose of committing a crime, that's the definition of a burglary. And if there's someone at home, instead of being a second-degree burglary, it's a first-degree burglary. And we don't have home invasions, much to my chagrin, and also to this officer who really had his heart set on me filing a home invasion. Of course, if we'd have had a home invasion, I wouldn't have filed that either because there wasn't enough evidence. But anyway, yeah, cops don't always get what the law is. And I don't blame them completely because the law is complicated. I mean, citizens can't for a moment. I don't know how they can conform their conduct to everything that's in the criminal statutes. I mean, if you have the wrong kind of...
It's very convoluted, isn't it?
If you got the wrong thistle growing out in your backyard, you're committing a misdemeanor in our state. And if you buried your pet too close to the property line and in any city lot...
Oh, I think I'm guilty of that more than once.
Always a misdemeanor for burying your pet in the yard if you live in the city.
Yeah.
And who doesn't do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something I've wanted to ask you for a while. My uncle is a firearms instructor, and I went to he sponsored a class with a local. I believe the guy was an attorney, and the guy went through when it is okay to draw a firearm and or use deadly force on your own property.
Okay, so the attorney did the class part talking about what the law was, I take it.
Basically, yeah. I actually recorded the whole thing. I have it somewhere on one of my many hard drives. But I was very, you know, Maine does have a castle doctrine. And I was very surprised to learn the stipulations. You can't just, like, to me, it seems cut and dry. If somebody comes on my property with the intent to rob me or harm me, I should have a legitimate reason to draw my firearm and or use it. But apparently in Maine, that's not the case. Like, I think there's a couple of exceptions. One of them is if a perpetrator enters your property with the intent to commit arson. If they have the intent to commit arson, you can draw a firearm and use
it. What, do they have to have a gas can in their hand and a match in the other? What?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's that cut and dry. And if that circumstance arises, you have... You know, you won't get charged with a crime if you discharge a firearm.
Dumb law, but, number one, exception for arson. Okay, go on.
But, you know, if somebody walks, somebody broke into my house and tried to walk out with my TV and I drew my firearm on him, if I discharge my firearm, I could be prosecuted, which really surprised me. I mean, that doesn't seem like a... I guess the castle doctrine is not infallible. And I was kind of wondering what your take is on that and what the laws are in Missouri.
Well, we have a castle doctrine law, too. And it sounds like, you know, if you find somebody in your house, you can shoot them. But in the end, there's always a catchphrase in there that has something to do or says something along the lines of, if you reasonably believe that you are in serious physical danger.
Yes.
And in the end, they're going to find a way to get you unless you can show that you knew that you were in serious physical, you know, in danger, serious physical injury. Now, in most cases, I think the public is going to be sympathetic to you in finding a stranger in your house. But there are situations where you have someone who it turns out that they are unarmed and there is a time lapse between when you catch them and when you get control of the situation, and maybe they even put their hands up, and then you simply murder them on your property. And that's where you're going to get into trouble, and people have.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it comes down to a classic libertarian argument of using appropriate force. I mean, if some, you know, junkie broke into my house with the intent to steal something from me, and they were unarmed, I would obviously say, look, buddy, I think you're in the wrong house. I've got a 357 pointed at you. You should probably just cut your losses and leave.
If you got the drop on him at this point, and you're right. I mean, it's a tense situation, but you definitely have the great advantage, right?
Right, and I'm not going to shoot the guy, but you never know. I mean, if the guy is armed, or you know, whoever comes into your home and they're armed, that's a whole different story. And I guess that was one of the other exceptions, which somebody joked in the class, because we don't have to register firearms in Maine. Having a firearm in Maine is pretty straightforward and pretty easy. As long as you're not a felon, you can have one.
Handguns too?
Oh yeah, handguns too. And somebody made the joke, to which the lawyer did not comment, but, well, that's why you always have a couple of cheap throwaway guns like High Points, so that way if somebody breaks into your house, if you have to shoot them, you can just toss one of those down and say, hey, they had one of those. Not saying that I condone that sort of thing, but I think you should use the appropriate force. But that being said, you know, to me, if somebody comes on my property, I feel that I should be able to defend myself and my property as I see fit. Personally, I don't want to shoot anyone. To me, that's a last resort. I call me a hippie at heart, but I don't want to take any lives. You know, I want to convince the person that maybe they're on the wrong track and they need to vacate the premises and rethink their choices. But if need be, and I need to use excessive force, I don't think I should be, you know, tried as a criminal for that.
I don't, you know, I would think that in most places, and I really, and of course, my feel is for my state, state of Missouri, where people have a very strong feeling that the home is the castle. And if you find somebody in your home that doesn't belong there, you can shoot them. That's pretty much, I think it's pretty much true. It's only in the situation where a normal person, you know, like you or I, what you just said, if you were in a situation where you actually felt you could get control of the situation without shooting the person, and you got the upper hand, and they were at your mercy at that point, and your fear of the danger dissipated, at that point, if you shot them, then there could be consequences against you. But up until that point, I don't think so.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and that's not really the law. That's just the way people would feel about it. And if you had someone down on their knees begging for their life, that's probably not going to fly if you shot them.
Well, yeah, and again, I agree that the amount of force you use should be appropriate to the situation and proportionate. But I don't think I was just, I guess
you're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. You know, and yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
And then after that, we'll talk about Porkfest.
Worms. Give it time. This is the Freedom Fiends with Chandler St. Pierre, and this is Randy. And I think
No. We got to do the wrestling names, brother. We've got the Jabbering Coon Cat and the Wampus Cat. Two cats on the radio.
Yeah. Two cats. Yes.
Two scary cats. So we're going to talk a little bit about prosecution of non-crimes. And I was browsing online. I came on SouthBendTribune.com. And there's an article. Rastafarian couples say marijuana laws are unfair to their faith. Now, this brings up a lot of interesting points.
No victim, no crime, right? For the first point.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think that's the basis by which we should go. That should be the starting point. And this article, here, I'll just read a little bit about it. This is South Bend. When a judge this weekend sentenced Jerome Scott for growing dozens of marijuana plants, oh, for shame, in his South Bend home last year, the 18 months of probation and a relatively light penalty for a felony conviction didn't bother him. Scott, 30, didn't contest the fact that he was growing the weed, but he and his 23-year-old girlfriend, Melanie Schmidt, see the state's marijuana laws as unjust and offered an unusual argument as they fought to have this felony reduced to a misdemeanor. I would have had, you know, fought to have it, like, thrown out and not have it a crime at all, but that's just me. As the self-described member of the Rastafarian faith, the couple said Scott was doing good for others by cultivating marijuana to ease ailments for chronic back and pain, back pain to cancer. And they feared that a felony on his record could destroy his ability to work as a caregiver for the sick as a legal grower in Michigan.
Now, so he was just doing unto others then.
Yeah, and
a good deed.
Now, I don't know, man. People have a lot of different takes on the Rastafarian faith. I actually knew a cat who was of the Rastafarian faith, and he was really hardcore into it. And it wasn't just an excuse to grow and smoke dope. Like, he was a very spiritual person and believed that the growing and using of marijuana was not essential, but a very strong part of his faith. But he was a very peaceful individual. And I don't know. I'm really, like, I don't do drugs. I haven't done drugs in, I don't know, what am I, 37, so my kid's 16, so like 17 years, right? I haven't done drugs. And, but I don't think that growing or using marijuana, or any other drug for that matter, should be a crime. It's your own body, and you should have the choice of what you ingest and what you put into it. Your actions, you know, if you commit crimes and you do stupid things, whether you're high or not, I think you should be judged on that. But these people weren't committing any crimes. You know, they weren't harming anyone. They were just filling a demand that was in their local community. And the judge in the case said that, this is a quote from, oh, what is it? I can't find the judge's name. Anyway, he said, I understand that there are many people who agree that marijuana should be legal, but you're in the wrong state for that. What you knowingly and deliberately did in Indiana is break the law by not only cultivating, but distributing it. So these cats are going to have their lives ruined. They're going to have a felony charge on their record just because they were growing a plant and giving it to people in need. And I don't know, that to me that doesn't sit well.
Does it say what the purpose of marijuana is in the religion?
Well, it's to attain a more enlightened and spiritual state. And it's kind of strange because this whole thing came about. The guy was growing pot, and he was saving up because they want to move to Michigan. Him and his girlfriend want to move to Michigan and become caregivers, cultivators and caregivers. And they were robbed. So we're heading into the break, but when we get back, I'll go into a little more detail on this. Worms.
We'll be back after the break.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
We're back.
So before the break, we were talking about this couple in Indiana and how they were prosecuted for growing marijuana, and they're self-proclaimed Rastafarians. Now, the whole situation came about, they were robbed, and not for marijuana plants, but for cash. And apparently the cash was they were saving up so that they could move to Michigan, where they could legally grow and distribute marijuana without fear of state reprisal. So one of the arguments, and this is what I kind of want to get into with you as a legal authority, they talked about they used their Rastafarian faith as a defense. And apparently it didn't hold up in court. But I kind of want to probe into that a little deeper and get your take on it.
Well, of course, I don't know anything about Indiana law. You know, the thing that kind of was sad about this was I noticed that same article I was looking at over the break. And after this happened, but before the conviction occurred, they moved to Michigan, I think it was. And he was able to legally set up to do medical marijuana, which was kind of his, you know, his life's work, I guess it was. And it seemed to say that was going to disappear pretty quickly, and when his license came up for renewal, he would not be eligible because of the felony conviction in Indiana.
Yeah.
And that was kind of sad. But, you know, the thing about the, you know, the faith issue when it comes to, say, drug use, and you have the same thing, some Native Americans with peyote use, and what's that stuff they have down in Mexico, ayahuasca or something like that?
Yeah.
I forget. Yeah. But that, and of course, you have, I mean, I'm Catholic, so like we have wine, and I think that we had an exemption back during Prohibition or something like that.
Yeah, and here about that.
Yeah, and the Rastafari has a central place for marijuana in its belief system, and you know it's a legitimate religion. It's not a real old religion. I think it started up back in the 30s after Emperor of Ethiopia, Haile Selassie, was made emperor, and he became, you know, some kind of, I don't know all about it, a spiritual figure. And, you know, one of the things I like about them is that they seem to be pretty peaceful and not really.
And non-political.
Non-political. So it's kind of like one of those things, well, it sounds to me like they're going to leave me alone, so I'm cool with it. And, but anyway, this is an important part of their religion. And you know, from a legal standpoint, the U.S. government, of course, does not buy that. In general, you can't make an excuse for using most drugs, exceptions for alcohol, perhaps. Even in you know,
it seems like kind of a double standard to me.
Well, yeah, but even in my church, obviously, the children who are not old enough to drink are also able to go up for communion. You have the bread and the wine. So
yeah, we had the grape juice on my first communion. We didn't get to do.
Yeah, well, we don't. We only have the hard stuff in the Catholic Church, and we never did do the grape juice thing. And it does seem like a double standard. I don't know why you would be allowed to break the rules for alcohol and not be able to break the rules for marijuana or peyote buttons and that. Of course, you know, you're coming right. We really come back as libertarians. We come back to the non-aggression principle. And when we ask ourselves, all right, what things can you do in the name of religion and justify it by your religion? And the answer is that, well, nothing really. You can't do anything more. You can't violate the non-aggression principle for any religious reason. You can't violate it at all. You can't kill people and say my religion requires human sacrifice. And the same thing should go for marijuana or whatever. If you're not hurting anyone else and this is required for your worship and you're doing this voluntarily, which every church I know of is like that, at least the ones that are you hear of. I suppose there's somebody somewhere being held at gunpoint, but
I kind of wonder if these individuals that follow like the Rastafarian Native American traditions are kind of blanketed under cult status because they don't have the 501(c) status with the government. So I kind of wonder if that plays into how they can't use their religious beliefs as a defense.
I don't think having a 501(c) status would allow you to do any of these things that they don't allow otherwise. I mean, who doubts that Native American religion is sincere and heartfelt and real for them? And the same thing with the Rastafari religion. The people there, you have to believe that they, or at least most of them, are going to be sincere believers who think that this is essential to their religion. And if they're not hurting anyone else, I just cannot imagine why anyone should be bothering them.
Well, yeah, and I think that comes back to the libertarian belief of, you know, no victim, no crime. But unfortunately, yes, the state doesn't see it that way. And I think that's, you know, when we talk about the arguments against having a centralized state, that's a valid one, because people that are nonviolent and peaceful that just want to practice a faith are tried and oftentimes convicted as criminals for that. And that, to me, that doesn't sit well.
Nope. No, it's just, I'm sorry, it's just evil. But we do it. Prohibition was evil. We did that.
Yeah. So, we don't have to, we had talked about, in the top of the hour, alluding to Porkfest.
Oh, yeah. Well, Porkfest, I'm embarking upon an adventure that I've never been to before.
Oh, you're going to love it, brother. It's great. Now,
how many times have you been there, Chandler?
Now, I've only been 2 years, but I got to tell you, it's kind of interesting, my evolution from 2007 all the way back to 1996. My big break from society and my day to let go was the Ozfest, which is the metal festival with Ozzy Osbourne and tons of bands. And I went to Porkfest in 2015. So I went, my first year was 2013, and it was really great. It was kind of like a libertarian utopia. You know, you go to, it's held in Lancaster, New Hampshire at Rogers Campground. And for those who don't know, Porkfest is officially called the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And it's a gathering of Minstaters, anarchists, and hippies, and whatever.
And the porcupine is the mascot of the Free State Project. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of like a kinder, gentler, don't tread on me rattlesnake from the Gadsden flag.
Well, you know, I mean, don't tread on me or you'll get the porcupine quills. Yeah. So, you know, and Porkfest is great. They have a lot of different workshops, conferences, speakers, and, you know, the 2 years that I went, I tried to hit a lot of the speakers and workshops, and I did. I didn't hit as many as I wanted, but for me, it's just a break. You know, it's just a vacation from everyday, the drudgery of everyday society. You know, I go... Our resident Fiend programmer, the guy who created Fiend Phone, Derek Slopey, him and his wife, Donna, they rent the same site. We get the same spot every year. It's a double camping spot, and we pitch our tents, and we have a little, I don't know what you call it, awning or whatever. It's a double site. And we go and we pitch our stuff and, you know, we cook our food and do our thing. And now,
do you have your reservation made already?
Well, I have to thank Derek and Donna because they reserve the site and they graciously let me homestead on their site.
Excellent.
And, I try to give them a little compensation when I can, and they don't care. They're like, you know, whatever. You can come and hang out with us. And it's cool because, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and the first year, a friend of mine and my daughter, we all went, and we had a great time. And last year, my daughter and her girlfriend and I went, and you know, we have a great time. We pitch our tents, and you know, we set up the grill and the awning and the lawn chairs, and you get to socialize with people. I don't know. Are you going to camp on site, or are you going to do the hotel thing?
I'm going to do the motel thing in town, but still not there on the campsite. I'm bringing my wife and. Probably not as young as I once was.
Well, you know, and I sympathize. You know, I pitched the double tent, and the kids have their own little tent, and I have a queen size air mattress. You know, it works for me. I'm getting a little older. It's a little tougher, but you know, I can still hack it for now. But
it's cool in New Hampshire though in June, so it's probably nice sleeping, right?
Oh, it's great. I'll tell you, last year, I think I told this story with Derek one night. We were on the Fiends, and I think it was the night of the Buzz's big gay dance party. And I went down there, and we did that sort of thing. And then I came back and had a little fire in the fire pit and pitched a tent and had the sleeping bag go. Oh, it was excellent, excellent. You know, nice warm weather, kind of sleeping under the stars. So we'll get when we come back from the market. We'll talk more about Freedom Fiends Porkfest
with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the you know the radios, and I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Just a few minutes. Redemption in the third act. And I think we were talking about Porkfest.
And Porkfest is definitely redemption in the third act.
Oh, I'm so looking. I've never been there. I'm so looking forward to being there. You were talking about they have different programs. Do they have a bunch of them going at once most of the time?
Well, they usually have a couple of... they have the main stage and they have a couple of tents. And... Like, I remember last year, one of my conundrums was Ben Stone and Bill Buper were both giving speeches at the same time. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? You know? And there was a cool group, Red Pill Recordings, excuse me, that used to record. I think the first year I was there, they recorded most of the Porkfest speeches. I don't know if they recorded a lot of last year's, but... So you kind of have to pick and choose, you know.
Well, if you go to one and you see it's being recorded, then you can run to the other and then watch the first one on YouTube later, right?
Exactly, and that's what I tried to do. But a lot of times I found myself just sitting around the campsite, you know, cooking the sausage and bacon, you know, sitting by a campfire. And oh, there's a speaker. I should probably get down there and kind of mosey on down, you know.
Now, this year, I think of the speakers, there's going to be, I think Stephen Kinsella is going to be there. And
oh,
Jeffrey
that's cool.
Tucker.
I actually saw Jeffrey Tucker's speech last year, and he was really, really fun. And they did a play. It was an Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand.
Mozart was a Red?
Yes, that was it.
Oh, that is so great.
Yeah, and they did a, you know, it was, I forget.
It was Murray Rothbard's play that he wrote basically about him getting booted out of the Ayn Rand inner circle cult.
Yeah,
whatever.
Ben Stone was in it, and, what's the cat's name from Cop Block?
Is that on a YouTube? Because I must find it.
I think somebody recorded it. One of our Fiend fans, Nicole, she, I know she was shooting photography. I don't know if she shot video, but I think it's on YouTube.
You know, the one that I've seen is the one from, I bet it's almost 30 years ago, when Jeffrey Tucker was just a kid, and he played one part in that play at the time.
Yep.
Oh, another person who I noticed was going to speak at Porkfest was Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation. He's yep. doing one of the keynotes. So there should be some good stuff. And I know that the schedule is not completely filled in yet because
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff. Like, I remember last year, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and Diana Kyler, and I, and somebody else, we did, like, an impromptu broadcast at, like, I don't know, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. It was great. So they do a lot of that stuff. You know, LRN has their normal show schedule hosts. They do the radio broadcasts and
which interrupts for anything live that might be coming from Porkfest, is that right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And it was great, you know. I mean, the Fiends did their live broadcasts and then you've got the speakers during the day and you've got the different workshops. Like there was gardening workshops and DIY. Like I remember there was a guy who was making rocket stoves and was selling them for an ounce of silver, and he was going around talking about that. You know, he just had a shopping cart, and he was selling them out of there and talking about them. And that was cool. I actually bought one, and it had it was a black rocket stove with a porcupine painted on it. So, yeah, it's a really cool experience. I would suggest that anyone who's into... liberty and free thinking, check it out, man. It's a really good time.
And if any of the Fiend fans come there, I hope they'll show up at the Fiend's live broadcast.
Oh yeah,
1 o'clock in the morning every morning.
Oh, it's great,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we had a bunch of great broadcasts last year. It was.
I'm doing the one Sunday night and with Derek and somebody else, I think, but I'll probably catch another one or two. So I'm really looking forward to meeting people myself.
Me too, man. It'll be a lot of fun. Cool. Well, it's been a great show, Randy. Thanks,
Chandler,
for your input.
Thank you. Thank you for deigning to appear on the air with me. Not everyone, you know, would do that.
Oh, my pleasure, brother.
Hey, I will see you at Porkfest.
Worms.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.